Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 248.
This week on the podcast, Auntie Maxine called for impeachment as Nancy Pelosi looked at her shoes today at LA Pride's Resist March.
And as usual, Britain has started a new political trend that we hope makes it stateside, not re-electing conservative assets.
Plus, the big Comey testimony takeaway? John McCain has some questions about Hillary Clinton's emails that he still can't clear up.
And the Senate is hard at work on their secret Obamacare repeal they thought you might never find out about because, hey, isn't Comey's testimony distracting?
But don't worry, things are only going to get better for your friendly neighborhood banker. No, not Rob Alster from down the road whose mom was your fourth grade teacher, or the one at J.P. Morgan.
And anti-Sharia law Americans want only their own identical anti-women, homophobic, restrictive laws to be enforced.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
That's right.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride, guys.
Pride this year was more fun than usual because it was participatory.
I know, it was a resist march and I couldn't go.
I know. God, you really...
Because of church.
Church. God.
I know.
God does it again.
Yeah. Oh, were the God anti-protesters out today? Did you see them at
I
all?
I didn't see any.
Oh, wow.
But
interesting. Maybe they've just given up.
It seems like it's not worth troubling yourself.
Well, they were all at different rallies, which we'll tell you about later.
Exactly. It seems like...
They've taken up a new cause.
It seems like... I mean, to be fair, I didn't go all the way to the front, so I don't know if early in the day there were God protesters just protesting up a storm.
Yeah.
It started at 8 a.m., though, so there were not even gay protesters protesting up a storm at that hour. Nobody was protesting a storm because we were all let's sleep.
I had to walk to church this morning around the time that the march was, and I texted Lila, and I said, the lesbians are either the self-appointed leaders of the resistance or the only ones who are on time, or both. And I think
my response was both.
Your response was both. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Because at that
what
time in the morning...
What happens without women, Brent?
I know, exactly. Yes.
How are they going to get the gays to show up?
They were the only
thing,
ones that I was at
no one
8,
started.
8 a.m. They were the only ones that I saw out
yeah,
this
of course.
Morning. But
yeah, I'm sure they were up there ready to march just
well,
in case anyone showed
they
up.
They hadn't gone out and got shit canned at the Abbey last night.
Yeah, exactly.
So they were fine.
Yeah, it's everyone has a role to play.
That's right.
And
some people is to show up on
time.
Some
people have to show up on
time
for the march so that the march starts. And then eventually...
Right.
Everyone else can filter in.
Filter in, right. From the bottomless mimosas that they're having at basics on
a surprising number of spectators for what was 100% a march that any single person could join.
Well, I think a lot of people didn't know that
it was just
it was not the Pride Parade.
It seems like if you were going to go out of your way to attend the Pride Parade, you would
have looked to see some details.
And like these were people that were standing in parts of the route that were not on the traditional Pride route.
Oh, so they
like the corner of Fairfax and Santa Monica was packed with spectators. There's no Pride Parade route that goes through there. Just like why are you?
Yeah, you don't need a sign. I'm famous for going to these things without a sign.
Brent and I are both non-sign people.
No,
I've learned the hard way that holding a sign is annoying and nobody wants to do it.
For sure.
Put a fun T-shirt on. You know, lead the chant if you become the only person who's willing to lead a chant.
Right. But Lila's wearing a great homemade t-shirt, by the way.
Yeah, this is my homemade Become Ungovernable t-shirt.
So good.
I copied it off of a sign that I saw in a photo of one of the LAX protests in a different city.
Sure.
So I just thought, you know what? I'm going to go for it.
It's not an LAX protest if it's in a different city. You know.
Oh, you're right.
Just thought I'd
the airport protests.
There you go.
The Muslim ban protests.
Sure. Yeah.
I think it was in San Francisco. This seems like the kind of place they would want to become ungovernable.
Totally.
Ungovernable is a little unwieldy, so it's kind of hard to read on my shirt. But I still feel like this shirt is...
Yeah, it's great.
A one-of-a-kind, excellent...
Masterpiece.
Yeah. So,
agreed.
Whatever. People can deal. But in any case, at the reason that I stayed as long as I did... Because normally, you know, I like to attend a march any old time, but usually after that, I cut right out of
there. I always crash out of a march before the end of it when the speakers are.
Because anytime there's speakers at a march, you're standing and you're uncomfortable and you're bored.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I stayed because Maxine Waters was going to be there.
I mean, hello.
And I was like, I'm not going to
That's what you want to do.
Yeah, that's it. And literally everyone was there to see Maxine Waters.
Right.
It was packed until she finished speaking and then people started wandering away.
Because let me tell you who nobody is showing up to see specifically. Adam Schiff or Nancy Pelosi.
So true.
I
people
mean,
are like,
you
oh,
might
good,
like
Adam
both
Schiff's
of them.
Here. Yeah.
But, like, you're not trying to hear them talk at you.
No. And for good reason, because we saw both of them speak as well. And they were not. Maxine Waters got the crowd really fired up. half the crowd was screaming, Auntie Maxine, like, so at her as she entered the stage.
Yeah.
Like, she...
Did she do a dramatic eyeglass removal at any point?
Of course.
Yeah!
I mean, what is she there for?
Right, exactly.
She did a dramatic everything.
That and to talk about impeachment. Right,
exactly. She has one plan.
Right.
It's to show up, remove her eyeglasses, and shout impeachment.
Boom.
She did all the things. She's not... Yeah. She's no fool.
Yeah.
But so, in any case, that was really fun. We also saw... Patrice Cloris from Black Lives Matter was there.
Sure.
So that was good. We stayed just through that, and then we were like, nah, maybe we could go now.
Uh-huh.
And let me think if there... The guy from HRC was there, but I'm always mad at them, so I was kind of
Chad
like,
Griffin.
Yeah, Chad Griffin
yeah,
was there.
Yeah, I am too.
And I was like,
I literally
can't
was walking to church this morning and saw somebody holding an HRC sign, and I was like, ugh. I sort of... Part of me hates that that's my feeling when I see that, but like,
I know it's too bad.
What am I supposed to do? I can't help it.
You can't help it. No, and there was a hilarious local politics moment where the West Hollywood City Council and our mayor John Heilman got up to speak.
Is he the mayor right now?
He's the mayor right now.
Oh,
in
he is.
West Hollywood, we have rotating mayors anyway, so like the mayor isn't elected.
For some reason, I thought it was somebody else, but I mean maybe
he just switched or something.
He just became
the mayor.
Right. And meanwhile, everybody hates him. So, like,
everybody hates
the fact that people didn't want him to get, like, thinking people anyway, didn't want him to get reelected during our city council
I didn't vote for him.
Things. But, like,
I'm not trying to get involved in it. He's in bed with developers.
Yeah, he's, like, the most entrenched, like, city politician that has, like, ever existed in West Hollywood city politics.
Yeah, no, he's...
Which is also how he won.
This is the face of evil in West Hollywood is a little different than the rest of the country because he still shows up at LGBT cause stuff and like, you know, gives a resist speech.
Right.
But he's
we
just
have development problems.
We have
in
development
West Hollywood
problems. He's in bed with developers.
He's at the core of it.
Yeah, we have affordable housing issues in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
In any case, he got up in the midst of this event. It was, you know, he's one of the first speakers. We're like all there. We're all pumped from just having marched. And as soon as he gets up, like an older man next to me with his husband both go, boo. This is a hilarious West Hollywood moment. So in any case, so that's the news from West Hollywood. These marches happen all over the country. So hopefully, I don't know.
And June is Pride Month. You're not going to hear from the White House, but it is.
It is, according to other people.
Yeah.
Everyone else.
Yeah. Right,
people who like celebrating things.
Hello.
They never want to talk about the fun months.
Yeah.
They only want to, like, name fake holidays for themselves that are depressing and don't include anything. We're about to talk about Infrastructure Week in a little bit.
Yeah.
You might think that that would have included anything having to do with infrastructure.
It didn't.
It didn't.
I feel like more of the GOP and straight people who are against gays, even if they're not Republicans, although I would assume that they are, probably, would really probably come around if they were to go to a Pride parade at some point in their life.
Listen.
I mean, who wouldn't want to be, like, passing LGBTQ rights after seeing, like, the West Hollywood drill team?
So true.
I mean...
We had the trans chorus came and sung Jesus Christ Superstar songs.
Sure.
I mean...
That's
what you're
fun,
looking for.
Guys.
That's what fun is. Exactly.
That's what fun is. Right.
Yeah, these aren't people that would know fun, though, came to them.
No, they're, like,
they're obsessed
actively
with preventing fun.
I was going to actively pursuing non-fun, you know.
No, it's, I think about this all the time because I feel like there's just no sense in being against a cause that includes fun people.
Right?
Like, it doesn't
make... We're the best.
Like, it doesn't make sense to, like, be discriminating against trans people. Like, parties with trans people are more fun than parties without them. Like,
for sure.
Like, you don't discriminate against gay people.
Right.
It's like you don't want to have music or dancing in your life.
I know.
You know? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I guess we should keep in mind the leader of that party literally got rid of a child's playground on the White House lawn, and he has a small child.
So true.
That's
the kind of non-fun.
That's who we're dealing with here.
So true.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not even in favor of child fun.
No.
That's the most innocent kind of fun.
God.
In any case, we're going to take a moment to give you a lead story that you're not expecting from us.
No, shock.
Because it's not about the U.S.
No, it's not.
But,
and it's not about James Comey
it's
either,
not about
which is what you were expecting.
That's what you were thinking.
Don't lie to yourself.
Yeah, no, you know what you were thinking.
Yeah.
No, but we're going to lead with the Theresa May upset was the British election. Because
you know what? Fuck her.
We need some good news, you guys. We needed some good news.
Yeah.
And Theresa May losing her parliamentary majority is that good news.
Yeah.
The Comey thing was fun while it lasted, but it didn't have the kind of far-reaching consequences this is going to.
Yeah.
This was fun in a way that also made us feel good.
Yeah. And it also offers us a chance to remind you that we told you that this was going to happen, which is one of our favorite things to do on this podcast.
We love being right.
Yeah.
And it's, we didn't. Once again.
It happens all the time. Once again. Think we'd get tired of it, but you know what? We don't.
We never do. This is a podcast being brought to you by two only children, if you hadn't guessed.
Yes.
So we're never going to get tired.
Nobody loves self-congratulation more than we do. Yeah.
Couldn't be truer. Yeah. In any case, so in Theresa May may get to keep her seat or her as prime minister, but only if they can forge some sort of consensus with another party.
And it sounds like actually maybe they have, but it's like some weird random like
Irish party.
Yeah, exactly.
So the party, they're trying to get an agreement together with the Democratic Unionist Party, DUP.
Yeah.
And so that if they are able to do that and they're in talks and they're resuming talks next week, the Conservative caucus, I guess is what, I don't know what they call it in Britain, would be able to stay in power. But it is a little controversial with more liberal conservatives because the DUP is very socially conservative. So they're like the religious right in the U.S.
Right.
They're like, they don't like fun.
Right,
they don't like gays. They don't like women. They don't like anyone.
You should keep in mind that a lot of conservative parties in less terrible countries than ours are
more about free market stuff. They're more about keeping immigrants out. They're racist.
Right, exactly. Yes.
But they don't, they're the social stuff that don't have, you know, the banning abortion.
They're less torn up
about
that.
They don't care about the religious stuff as
much.
And so that is where that's where the big schism between these two parties really lies in Britain. And if they do enter into this sort of like, you know, agreement with the DUP, we're looking at a right wing in Britain that looks much more like the US's right wing, which is, will be interesting.
Yeah, it will
not
be.
In a good way.
Yeah.
But it will be interesting.
But what was great about this was that the leader of the Labour Party, Corbyn.
Yeah, Jeremy Corbyn.
Like, nobody, you know, they started, I think we talked last week about how the polling was starting to get closer on this. But nobody really, apparently the pollsters there are just as shitty as they are here.
Yeah, everyone kept being like, no one
really
knows how to poll Britain.
Nobody knew what was going to happen, but nobody saw, like, this drastic of a thing happening.
Of course, no one saw Brexit passing in the first place.
No, exactly.
So the whole thing has been a wild mystery, right?
And that's why we thought that, like, we didn't necessarily see that, you know, socialists were going to like make such a big.
No.
I always thought that the reason that she wasn't going to do as well is because even though she was polling well at the time, is that people were going to sort of like want to take their Brexit vote back.
Yeah.
And like
once they found out what Brexit was.
Right. The morning after
they voted
for it.
For it and Googled it.
Right. Exactly. it didn't surprise me, but like it did surprise me that like the socialists really
showed up,
man. My favorite, I think I sent you this link, but my favorite article all week, like wrapping this whole thing up, was like, I think it was from Bloomberg or something. I mean, it was not a ridiculous sort of like, you know, opinion piece or whatever, but like it was the one that said like millennials take revenge on parents and grandparents in regards to this, because also like they had a huge turnout and also had way more people under 30 registered to vote before this election than before Brexit.
I mean, if you have something like Brexit happen right under your nose, at that point you have no choice but to start voting all the time. I feel like that was like a real shock.
Right.
And listen, I feel like you should never get to keep your majority if you call a vote in the middle of a random time anyway.
Right.
I think that's a shitty thing to do.
Yeah, she
you can't just call snap elections every time that you want to look like you're in charge.
Yeah, exactly. And the
like,
reason that she did it was specifically because she just wanted to have more power for herself.
Yeah. It was because they were about to go in and negotiate Brexit and she wanted to be like, I have
I've
the people
got a
of Britain
huge
behind
majority.
Me. And everyone was like, nobody wanted Brexit.
Buzz off, lady.
Yeah. Like, don't fucking pretend like our system in which we elect you for a certain term is inadequate for this moment.
Also, turns out people don't like cuts to their health care either.
Yeah. Oh, shocker.
Right?
What a surprise.
Because that was one of the main things that sort of ended up
bringing her down. Well, and there were some, you know,
her down.
They had issues with terrorism last week in London. And
they had to put off the election.
But they're, because of what, you know, because of Theresa May's sort of role in the government previously as Interior Secretary or whatever, there were a lot of people saying like, well, a lot of these police cuts happened under her tenure.
Well, right.
And that's part of why we're not catching all of these secret terrorist
plots
that are coming
because you would
through.
Think that
because
many
they've
times
historically been very good at that because they live in a huge surveillance society and everyone is being on everyone's on camera in Britain all the time.
All the time,
so it's hard to have a secret plot there.
Yeah.
But people are doing it now because there's no fucking police.
Yeah.
So in any case, this was interesting. this union with the DUP is going to be interesting for a number of reasons, one of which is even the head of the Conservative Party in Scotland is openly gay. I mean, they have people inside the Conservative Party that are going to have issues with the platform of the DUP and making sure that that doesn't become part of the government's agenda. Yeah. And then also in Ireland, there's a lot of concern because the British government has been sort of traditionally an impartial broker ish in the sort of peace process between Ireland and Northern Ireland.
Right.
And if the DUP has this direct line to the Prime Minister,
right.
they suddenly, they have, you know, an opinion on the Irish,
do.
You know, independence question,
yes.
Or the
well,
Irish unity
power.
Question. And it, once they have power, that's going to change the dynamic of that process.
Right.
And it's been working pretty well. So people don't really want to upset that balance.
Yeah.
There are also one thing I learned from this from reading up about this was that there are Irish separatists who also run for office and get elected in Ireland, but they don't show up because they don't believe in Westminster rule. So there are like seven like members of parliament
right.
who just like get elected and then like refuse to show up or take any votes.
I wish that our GOP just wouldn't show up because
they don't believe in government either. Yeah, so what are they doing there?
Right?
If you don't believe in government, I don't see what business you have running around in the halls of Congress.
Amen.
It's like running around in the halls of an imaginary place that you
right.
don't believe exists. That,
right.
that doesn't... That's like running around in the halls of heaven. It's not... it's not a thing. In any case, Theresa May is has been pretty weakened by all of this.
Big
either
time.
Way, she had a huge staff shakeup. She had co-chiefs
of
staff.
Left.
They resigned on
yeah.
the next day, a couple days later, as they should have, by the way. If her staff in any way encouraged her to call snap elections that failed, they deserve to go.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you don't keep any. You don't keep staff that are giving you terrible advice like that.
Right.
Jeremy Corbyn is predicting that they're going to be kind of like, that this is not the last random new election that they're going to have.
Exciting.
Which I think... could be true. I mean, this is the slippery slope of calling snap elections. Is once that's the precedent, you can just call elections any old time
right?
you please. And then it's like
yeah.
we're just voting every day. And I feel like we've done that in this state because I feel like there's an election once a month here.
I know.
And once a month we're supposed to go. And first of all, we're not even going to the same polling places every time.
Really?
I've had multiple polling places in all of these. Since November, we've voted like four times.
Oh, yeah.
And I have not gone to the same polling place each time. I've gone to wrong polling places during that time. But I'm saying, like,
I'm
I feel like they're going to start living that reality. And you guys, it's not pretty, that reality.
No.
It's exhausting. Keeping track of all of these things is...
it's a lot.
It's too much work.
Yeah.
And if you're going to elect someone only to have them get, have someone new get reelected to that seat every 5 minutes, no, like, you might as well not have a government. Like, nothing's going to get done.
Yeah.
Other than you're going to waste a lot of work days voting.
Yeah. Yeah. But the real takeaway here for everybody should be go socialists.
Yes.
Right? I mean, like,
yes.
I've been seeing a lot of pieces about, like, what the Democrats should take away from elections in Britain. And,
yeah.
like, obviously they will take away
nothing
from it because,
well, they
like,
don't learn from things.
That's their nature.
Yeah.
Is to learn nothing at every turn.
Mm-hmm.
But
did you see that the front page of the Times, the lead story in the Times today, like right now, is about the divide in the Democratic Party?
Oh, good.
It's like never going to go
They're going to mangle this.
Duh.
Ugh.
When have they not?
God.
When do they wildly succeed at anything?
The
last time they wildly succeeded, it was against their own better nature. Like, literally Obama was like not who they wanted to run, and he just like steamrolled them, and they
I
were
know.
Like, ugh, I guess we'll take this guy.
Right.
And then that was the last time they had a success.
I know.
I mean, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
These people. But
grim.
It does also, the DUP, the one other thing about partnering with the DUP that I wanted to mention and forgot
yes.
is that they are pro-Brexit, but they want to keep a single market that allows the free flow of goods between Ireland and the UK.
Sure, of course
and
they do.
That is going to complicate Brexit negotiations.
Yeah.
So that will be interesting if they do end up creating this partnership with the DUP, aside
yeah.
from the fact that they're going to have to start hating gays and women
right.
and all these people, and that's going to be exhausting. But they're also, it's going to complicate what Brexit is
yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
And those negotiations start like next week
yeah.
or something. So that's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah.
And now we'll go to Comey.
Whew, buddy. This was so good.
I was watching it
on set. I was on set by myself. So if whatever we were shooting that morning
who knows?
Ends
who cares?
Up being a piece of trash, then
it's not on you.
We'll know why.
They should have scheduled it during the
during
Comey
a work
testament.
Day.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say they shouldn't have scheduled the Comey testimony.
No, they shouldn't have scheduled
this was a primetime event.
Right.
Come on, guys.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I was like, somebody asked me what I was listening to. And I was like, the Comey testimony.
Come on.
And they were like, oh, I was watching that a second ago. So, like, I was in Canada. I was in Canada and they were watching the Comey testimony.
I was at a shoot that morning and certainly it was on multiple screens around us.
Yeah,
we're not fools out here.
And it delivered, guys.
Yeah, it was
really
good TV.
Did. I mean, from the opening statement when he called Trump a liar.
From the moment that they released his testimony
the
in paper form.
The written.
On Tuesday.
To the
end of the event, it was like high drama.
Amazing. Yeah.
I mean, nothing's going to change because of it. Nothing. There was no outcome here.
No.
The outcome was just that we had an exciting TV event to watch mostly.
Yeah, I do think the outcome is in, I think that so many people have been obsessed with Russia's involvement and whether the Trump campaign colluded with them. And I feel like at least if anything came away from this, it's sort of like, I think that the new idea that cover up is probably where there is a crime buried, if there is one.
Yeah. Right. Like it did lead us to where we should look for the crime.
Yes.
Which is helpful.
Yes.
I also have my own personal theory that's unsubstantiated in every way.
Sure.
It's my favorite kind. Which is based on how carefully Comey answered these questions, that Comey was not the right guy for Trump to fuck with.
No.
I think that ultimately, when all is said and done, and we finally find out he broke some law, and we finally find out what was going on in this whole, this whole time, it's going to have been Comey that was sort of the decisive factor that brought everything down. And I don't think because I don't think Comey is a genius or anything. I'm not saying that. I mean, I know that Comey is a sleaze. I'm saying that Comey is a sleaze who has existed in Washington forever.
Right.
Under multiple administrations.
Both parties.
Right. He knows everyone. He's fairly well liked among intelligence forces. He is a lawyer. So all of the times that Trump is always having to have lawyers cover up shit for him, Comey doesn't have that problem because he
knows, can do it himself.
He knows how to cover up shit. He knows what he can and can't say.
Yeah.
You know, I think he is less likely to make sort of the kinds of missteps that Trump is going to seize upon to grab the narrative.
Yeah.
And
I
don't think the Washington insiders like Comey are where you go with the public ire.
Yes,
I agree. And I think that they're not good enough backroom negotiators to know how to deal with a guy like him.
Well,
I don't think he has anyone who could deal with Comey.
And going off of your point where, in the future, if we come to a point where, Trump will have been taken down, I think another thing that was fascinating that we learned in this hearing was that it was Comey who is basically responsible himself for the special prosecutor that we now have.
Yes.
Because he basically had a friend of his put out into the public the thing that he said about how Trump wanted him to let the Flynn thing go.
Yeah.
Because
he leaked.
Exactly.
And Trump is trying to grab him for leaking, but I know he covered his tracks.
Oh,
they're not going to grab the FBI director for leak.
Get real.
Not the Trumps aren't. I mean, I'm sure somebody could.
Yeah.
Somebody is smarter than Comey in Washington. Most people probably.
Right. They don't work for Trump.
But they don't work for Trump.
No.
Comey was the guy he needed to protect him from people like Comey.
Exactly.
That's like, it's just, they're hemorrhaging all of the people that could protect them.
Yeah.
You know, and through stupid stuff like demanding loyalty and like
pledges.
Bullshit like that.
Right.
Like, you're going to make Comey sign a fucking loyalty pledge?
Yeah.
Like, he's well aware that that's not in his job description.
Right, right.
His loyalty is supposed to be to the Republic. And he knows that.
And he knows that. Well, and that was the other thing that, like, I was so, that I hope will maybe become of this, but I don't really necessarily know. But a lot of people watch this. Something like almost 20 million people, they say, watch this. And what he hit a few times on how important this was to, what America
is
at its, like what it literally is at its core. I mean, it's a democratic, it's a democracy. You can sort of argue.
That's the word.
You can argue how, the person who got 3 million more votes for president is not currently our president. So one could argue where we fall on the scope of democracies. But I mean, like, this whole investigation is about literally another country who has been an enemy of ours.
Yeah.
Actively changing the outcome of the election. And as he said multiple times, they will be back.
Yeah, of course.
So, like, this is like, we have to, this is not about party right now. And he said that multiple times, and I was glad for that, because yeah. I was just, like, it probably fell on deaf ears, but...
It is, I think that the fact that this was such a major television event is a sign that, you know, the 20% of people that are rabid Trump supporters are going to be doing their thing, sure. whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that it's a sign that the kind of massive public interest that does ultimately shift the outcomes in right. these moments is starting to develop here.
Yeah.
Because if you think about, like, you know, it's like when I was a kid and I thought only Iran Contra hearings were on television. Like, it was just Sesame Street yes, and Iran Contra hearings.
Yeah.
I'll tell my famous story about that.
Yeah.
I think
there's going to be more this week. We've got...
Exactly. I think that there are moments when... And here's a secret, you guys. Hearings are fucking boring.
Yeah.
I've been to my share of hearings about the 9/11 health bill and things like, you know, whatever it is. Every time I go to Washington, I end up walking into a hearing. But and they're dull. Nobody's interested in a hearing. And for the most part, no one shows up to them and they're, you know, it's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
When you start seeing this kind of public interest in what are really boring political theater moments like, you know, a guy at a hearing.
Right.
And it looks like it's from a movie because there's so much press and so much interest.
Yeah.
That is not a good sign for the administration.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit about what he said.
Yes.
Because that's what he was there to do.
It was say things. Yes. And did he?
The big press takeaway was that he called Trump a liar.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing. Everyone's calling Trump a liar because Trump is a fucking liar. Like, Trump has lied about things that don't even need to be lied about.
I was going to say. Yeah, there are...
He lied about the size of his crowd at the inauguration. There was photographic evidence.
Calling him a liar is, like, now officially, like, a fact-based statement.
It's calling me short or something. Like, it's not a worthwhile... So, like, that being, like, a splashy headline,
right.
I thought was hilarious. And that was not, I thought, the most salacious thing that he said in a subversive manner.
No, I don't think so.
But it was certainly the thing that everyone heard.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the same... Here are some things that I think... are related to the lie comments, but are more interesting than the lie comments.
Yes.
One is that he felt the need to take notes after every interaction with Donald Trump because he so didn't trust him.
Amazing.
After his first meeting, he literally sat in the car and just took detailed notes.
Out of Trump Tower, like before the transition, walked out in sheer horror because he has met with presidents of both parties multiple times, and he had this first meeting with Trump and literally took to a classified laptop in his fucking car.
Yeah. And was like, I gotta record everything. This is why I don't think he's the right guy to fuck with.
No.
He knows what he's supposed to remember.
Of course.
He's gonna find the paper trail of what he needs to find because he knows what he's looking for.
And he doesn't have to remember them.
No, exactly, because he wrote it all down.
There you go.
But so, in any case, this to the right seemed to read like he was like already, you know, ready to hate Trump before he started. But this narrative that after he basically handed Trump the election, that he like was there to hate Trump, I think is disputed not necessarily by public, you know, impression, but by the words of every person who actually knows him in life. Because he's, I think, sort of famously annoyingly balanced.
Well, he was, I believe, a Republican appointee, wasn't he, initially before he
I think so. And then
I'm pretty sure that he was, but I know he said nice things about George W. Bush in this hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it takes...
And he worked for Obama.
Right.
So, I mean, that's how we know him, obviously, because he was the FBI director just last year.
Yeah.
But so I think the sort of like the takeaway here for Republicans who are trying to spin this is sort of refuted by his general boringness.
Yeah.
He's not really a man with a political agenda. He's like a lawyer with a lawyer agenda.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that beat was clear.
Yeah.
His lawyery agenda was clear.
Yeah.
So, you know, there were... The reason that the lie statement is getting so much play is because there were some audacious claims that are probably true that he made. Like, you know, like what was in that leaked memo that, you know, Trump had asked him to let the Flynn thing go.
Right.
But there were other ones. You know, there was the loyalty oath. Trump lied about the circumstances that led to Comey's departure. Comey had been, you know, talking to Sessions and Rod Rosenstein about his concerns about Trump this whole time. There was documentation of those conversations.
Oh,
and they kind of flipped them around on him during the firing to act like he was being some sort of problem.
Yeah. There were a few times that what he said did not reflect super great on Jeff Sessions.
Well, I was going to say, the thing that I thought was most salacious about this whole thing was what this said about Jeff Sessions.
Yeah.
Because he literally, you know, he basically portrayed him as ineffective and weak and kind of afraid of Trump and unable to stand up to him.
Yeah.
And he literally said at that meeting where he was,
where Sessions
right, was asked
where
to leave.
He asked everyone to leave other than Comey.
Including and Kushner
Sessions
and Sessions.
His boss.
Exactly. And he's not supposed to be meeting with the president without Sessions. No. That's not how it works.
Right.
He said, my sense was the attorney general knew he shouldn't have been leaving, which is why he was lingering. And I don't know Kushner well, but I think he picked up on the same thing. So I knew something was about to happen that I needed to pay very close attention to. But what right. he also says about this is that he had to go tell Sessions, do not do that again.
Do that. And Sessions did not respond.
Didn't respond. He looked like a deer in headlights.
Yeah.
So it... It sounds like...
Sessions probably knew at the time that they were trying to come up with reasons to fire him in the first place, so he was probably scared to say one peep to him.
I mean, but this is not a good sign if an experienced senator who's been appointed the attorney general is afraid to be honest with the president.
Agreed.
And is afraid, well, he's afraid to disobey the president.
I was going
to
say, he probably took the loyalty pledge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, in any case... by the way, Siri just picked up on that.
Yeah.
Siri's talking to us right now.
I heard somebody else tell me this week that Siri has been saying them things to them without them calling to her.
I want you all to know that what Siri's response to whatever it picked up was, I generally respond to truthiness or something like that. It was like the craziest sentence I've ever seen from Siri. I'm sorry that that happened. That was weird.
I'm kind of excited by it actually.
I know. Well, I'm creeped out. I don't.
I know. That's
want
why
Siri
I
to be too. Listening to the podcast.
No. Unless she's going to count as a viewer.
Exactly.
Yeah, she's giving us a download. She can listen every
week. She can listen
week.
To her. Yeah, she can listen as much as she wants. But not if she's not fucking going to do the work.
I know.
I want the stats.
Yeah.
In any case. So this, the sort of, what this said about Sessions, about Trump's relationship with the Justice Department.
Yeah.
About everything that has to do with the sort of interactions that he had with Trump. Beyond Trump lying,
yeah.
I thought was the most
I agree.
Interesting and salacious part of all of this, you know, commentary in the first place. So he also said, you know, he was asked whether he believed Trump himself colluded with the Russians. And he wouldn't say, obviously, because he doesn't know and he's a lawyer, so he wasn't going to say. But he did make an indication that he has some thoughts on the matter.
That he'd tell him later.
Because he basically told him he'd be willing to share his views on this in a classified setting with lawmakers.
He said multiple times that it was not something that he could talk about in an open session.
Yeah.
And I was excited by every single time that he said that.
Absolutely.
I was disappointed that I wasn't going to be able to hear it. But every time he said it, I was like, ooh.
You know, it was so dramatic. And then, as far as the questions went, there was some interesting coverage and some interesting fact.
Yes.
Covered in coverage.
Yes.
Because it begins with, first of all, Kamala Harris asked a series of reasonable but fine questions.
Yes.
That the press was describing as like, Politico called them tantalizing.
Yes.
Like they were, like everyone was blowing out about
right.
the most run-of-the-mill questions I've ever heard out of the mouth of a, like,
right.
were they important questions? Sure.
Sure. But she had, so the day prior to this, there were two buffoons testifying who basically said nothing, and people were mad that they basically didn't say anything
right.
because they didn't respond to questions that they actually could have.
Right.
And she sort of like was drilling them
right.
in that, and she was probably a little bit better in that hearing. And also
yeah.
she was sort of like, she was shushed, basically, by
right. yeah,
the
there
Republican
was a moment
man.
That
right,
kind
exactly.
of
and
everyone
so, like,
seized upon.
That sort of like caught some steam, and she sent a big fundraising email off of it or whatever. But I, during the, so I was waiting for her.
For this moment that was supposed to be great, because she's an empowered woman who was
yes.
going to ask the questions that needed
right.
to be asked.
And
she did. Those were quite, they were fine
right.
questions.
Right.
Were
but
they tantalizing?
No. I have a text conversation with a good work friend of mine who was like, I mean, she's like politically active in the sense that she like votes and she like knows what's going
right.
on, but like she's not the type. She texted me that she was watching those, and I was sort of surprised,
right?
Like, just because she's sort of like not the type of person who necessarily like wants
watches
to deal
political
with watching
hearings.
Like 3 hours of political hearings.
Yeah.
And she texted me out of the blue, and she was like, "Is this Kamala Harris questioning like just not doing anything for you right now?" Basically, and I'm paraphrasing,
yeah.
But I was like, "Yeah, it's like it was a big nothing."
It was just like generic questions that are fine.
Yeah.
She didn't ask anything harmful, but they weren't, it wasn't right. tantalizing but questions. She was asking things like,
it's like, you know, launched her into the stratosphere. It's so weird. Politico.
Literally they were questions like, where might meetings between the Trump camp and the Russians have taken place? Like, were there records? Did anybody attempt to conceal these records or encrypt their communications? Yeah. Like, it was normal questions.
Yeah. And they also got a lot of, like, short answers from him. I thought it went by really fast. Like, she didn't ask follow-up questions. Yeah. She didn't, like, it just didn't
it's
seem
so
like
funny
a thing.
That it just got, like...
Yeah.
And then, but the real star of the show was our very not-own John McCain.
Oh,
who,
my God.
He claims that he was up late watching a Diamondbacks game.
I claim that
he was up late being too old.
Correct.
Because he asked, first of all, he's not clear on what this hearing was about. He was on the wrong topic.
Yeah.
He was trying to make this comment that didn't need to be made, that was a parallel that wasn't actually a parallel, that had to do with Hillary Clinton and the email situation, which you might remember is a lot less serious of a charge than collusion with a foreign power to influence an election.
Yeah, correct. Yes.
So he's the last person to get to go up for questioning. He's not actually on the Senate Intelligence Committee. He's the chairman of the Armed Services Committee.
So he gets to come if he wants.
Right. So he thought, yeah, I'll come.
Should have stayed home.
Yeah, after that, he should have slept in.
Yeah.
He took up the second most time. Only Richard Burr, who's the chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, got more time asking a bunch of nonsense questions.
Yeah.
And the questions are all... He mixed up Comey and Trump.
Yeah, he called him President Comey.
He called him President Comey at one point. And also, the questions are all about Hillary Clinton still.
Right, well, and he released a statement about, like, the point that he was trying to make, and I sort of was, in a weird way, I guess by the end of it, like, kind of tracking what he was talking about, but only because I did some brain, you know, like, gymnastics to get there, basically. But, like, what was so surprising to me about this was, besides the fact that he sounded like he had dementia, was that there is no one truly living on Earth currently in 2017 that is more obsessed with Russia than John McCain is.
It's so weird that he was the one to make all these...
This is where he went? He went to Hillary Clinton's emails for this?
And to make a comparison as if Russia hacking the election is the same as Hillary Clinton email gate.
That was what was truly shocking about this.
It's bonkers.
To me, anyway.
These questions are bonkers. This exchange was bonkers. Him calling Trump Mr. Comey was bonkers. Every moment of this exchange was bonkers, and Comey kept being like,
And that's when it got real crazy, because, like, Comey could not understand, and then, like,
and America.
Comey and America. But as McCain tried to further, you know, explain it, is when it really sort of, like, fell apart. I mean, it didn't start great, but then it just went further south.
Yeah, I feel like we should read the quote that's him starting to try to explain it.
Okay.
Because it's a little long, but I feel like you need to understand what kind of jumble we're dealing
with.
Let's
do it.
I'm going to read it. Yeah. I'm John McCain.
Good luck.
Well, at least... he's made his vague comment once. And he keeps asking about the investigation of Secretary Clinton.
Right. Which is over.
And what Comey is basically saying is, you know, I can't make the same... I can't comment on the Trump investigation or the Russia investigation because it's ongoing.
Right.
Whereas I was able to make a comment about the Clinton investigation because it was closed.
Yes.
And so he kind of keeps saying that. And then McCain goes, well, at least in the minds of this member, there's a whole lot of questions remaining about what went on, particularly considering the fact that, as you mentioned, it's a, quote, big deal as to what went on during the campaign. So I'm glad you concluded that part of the investigation. But I think the American people have a whole lot of questions out there, particularly since you just emphasized the role that Russia played. And obviously she was a candidate for president at the time, so she was clearly involved in this whole situation where fake news, as you just described it, is a big deal took place. You're going to have to help me out here. In other words, we're complete. The investigation of anything former Secretary Clinton had to do with the campaign is over, and we don't have to worry about it anymore. Like, that's his clarification.
Right. And what he said he was trying to do was... not, I really think, what he was trying to do, actually.
I don't think so.
But, like, I think what had happened was he was truly confused as to the fact that Hillary Clinton was being investigated for something different than what President Trump and the administration is currently being investigated.
And also that her investigation as a closed investigation would involve a different comment from Comey than his investigation, which is an ongoing investigation.
Yes. It's like because at one point he said, well, she was a candidate for president, and if they were meddling in the campaign for president, like, why wouldn't she still be under investigation?
Right.
But she was never under investigation.
She wasn't colluding with them. Right. She was under investigation for having a private email server, which had nothing to do with her running for president.
Correct.
And that investigation ended. Comey made a comment about it while she was running for president. Maybe not in the smartest timing. But
sure.
But that's not the same thing as people close to the Trump camp and part of the Trump camp colluding with Russia to throw the election, which is an ongoing investigation that he can't comment on because it's ongoing. Even I understand this. And I have not been in the Senate for 400
years.
700
years, exactly.
And I haven't survived any plane crashes.
Yeah.
I'm not a hero at all, really.
No.
Unless it comes to understanding what exactly is going
on
with Comey.
You don't have to be a genius to be a hero.
Exactly. I love, though, after he tried to blame it on the Diamondbacks game, the Diamondbacks tweeted a picture of, that shrugging emoji.
Right.
But maybe here's why he was so tired. Maybe it wasn't the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
Because there's another thing going on with John McCain that we weren't aware of.
Right.
He's
and
basically
this is sort of heroic.
This is actually sort of heroic.
Yeah.
He's basically serving as a shadow Secretary of State right now.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, first of all, Rex Tillerson is mostly napping, as we know. He's a very tired man who doesn't enjoy travel, it seems, and is mostly just friendly with the Russians so he can get oil from them.
Correct.
But he's not famous for his, you know, diplomacy work.
No.
So he's walking around taking naps all over the world.
Yeah.
And who's filling in the cracks but John McCain, octogenarian John McCain, who's been
He's been around long enough to know every leader of the world on Earth.
And he's apparently quite popular abroad to the degree that other leaders want to go see him.
I have a feeling that he's probably a fun guy to hang out with.
Oh yeah, I think so. Well, and even in Vietnam, where again he was a POW, he's the lead headline. He went and did a diplomatic trip to Vietnam. You know, him and John Kerry were part of normalizing relations with Vietnam. They were part of a big push behind that. He's the lead in the newspaper headline about his trip with a whole delegation.
Yeah. Favorite American leader John McCain rescues American relations.
He's even loved in Vietnam. It's crazy. But so in any case, he's been traveling during recesses all over the world, smoothing over
cleaning up all of this
bullshit that's being generated by the Trump administration.
Yeah.
And it's too much.
He's too old for that, you guys.
He just spent his last 10-day break in Australia, Vietnam, and Singapore.
Yeah.
Around Christmas, he swung through the Baltic. He's been, he had to go visit to reassure NATO at the Halifax International Security Forum. You know, in April, he hit 7 nations in southeastern Europe, trying to, deal, because they're a big pass-through point for Islamic militants, so trying to kind of, deal with security issues there. He's traveling all over the world, making speeches, and what's interesting is when he goes and does these, he doesn't mention Trump in the speeches generally. That he's been giving abroad is not mentioning Trump. He's basically just been sent all over
the
world.
He's trying to make sure that we
everything.
Still have allies in 2020.
It's crazy. So let's let this man take a nap. There is not somebody under 80 who can be doing this work,
right?
I mean, apparently not. Their bench needs some filling out.
Right, exactly. To talk about the Democratic bench.
Jesus Christ.
Talk about
this is not a good sign.
Yeah.
Because you know what, you guys? He's in his 80s.
He's in his late 80s.
He's not going to...
He's 86. He's going to be 90 when his term is over.
He's not going to be able to do this forever.
No.
Him and Diane are going to have to retire at some point.
I know. I sent you that photo. There was a photo of some of the people listening to John McCain's questioning. The best one was actually Marco Rubio, who looked... just openly horrified.
Yes.
But there's a picture of Diane Feinstein where she was sort of looking down in his direction, and she looks less horrified as she does sort of confused. And my hope was that was the look of a person who thought to herself, what the fuck is he talking about? But then right after that realized that she was older than he is.
I hope that she, every time that he does something silly, is what are we both doing?
I know. I know.
That's what I hope.
Yes.
Enjoy your retirement, John McCain.
Right. I fear, though, that she probably thought to herself, God, my line of questioning was great.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was fine.
Yeah, she survived she's one of the first female senators. She's probably tough enough to think.
Right, exactly.
She's not thinking, what are we all doing here? She's thinking, at least I beat John McCain.
Right, I was going to say, I heard her questioning, and she was able to,
string together sentences.
Speak in sentences, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Apparently, if you're in your 80s, that's enough.
Nailed it.
Okay. So in any case. So
Twitter really was having a field day, though, which was
Twitter took down John McCain. And John McCain only responded because of Twitter.
Right. He even said in the statement.
He said, I saw on Twitter that people seemed to misunderstand my comments.
Right. It was a lot of tweets about John McCain with a gif of Grandpa Simpson.
A lot of that.
A lot of Grandpa Simpson gifs going around that day.
In any case, these hearings are kind of heating up. And now we have some new ones to look forward to and some fake ones to look forward to.
Yeah. Sure.
Begin with. Jeff Sessions is now going to testify before the Senate Intelligence Committee on Tuesday. But we don't know if it's a public or private session.
Yeah.
So he was actually supposed to testify. It's hilarious why he's testifying in front of the Intelligence Committee.
Oh,
he was supposed to testify before the House and Senate subcommittees that oversee the budget for the Justice Department. And he wrote this letter that was mostly just him complaining that people were going to ask him about Russia stuff and it wasn't appropriate because these were budget meetings. And so they're sending Rod Rosenstein to go to that, and he's instead going to have to talk to the Intelligence Committee.
Oops.
He said the Senate.
Don't you hate it when you give an excuse for something, thinking that you've really gotten yourself out of something?
A mess.
And it's one of the worst feelings out there.
One of the worst.
Yeah.
But so he's going, to have to probably answer some questions about, this mysterious third meeting that he might have been covering up with Kislyak, and just in general why he had to recuse himself. Because Comey did cover that he knew, that they kind of all knew Sessions was going to have to recuse himself, and they were kind of, there were some implications that Sessions is in deeper than he is currently admitted to being in,
figure.
Of course. But so that probably will be touched upon in this hearing. I hope it's an open hearing.
Oh, I know.
I could use a good television event for next week, too.
I know. And some more tantalizing questioning from Kamala Harris.
I know. Nothing like the tantalizing questions.
Yeah.
Just straight ahead questions.
Oh, before we move off of this, one other thing that was at least a takeaway for me that you're not going to find as a takeaway from anyone else is that it is rare that the one thing that is interesting about hearings like this that are televised is that it's rare that you see, unless you're watching C-SPAN all day, multiple senators
at a hearing
interacting with each other and also just sort of there together. Yeah. Short of a,
usually
I was trying to think.
Usually they just drop in
right, I was,
and
right,
ask
exactly,
their questions
and give a speech
leave.
Or if they're on the Senate floor or whatever. And I was just sort of reminded by seeing them all collectively and then hearing them ask questions that so many of the Republicans just are terrible. Which is not a real revelation.
Also,
that's not a revelation, but short of I was trying to think of where else you can do short of a presidential debate. I don't know where you see you know what I mean? All of them
interactions
there and then
compare them by.
Yeah, you go from John McCain to Marco Rubio.
Right,
to
you guys aren't that special.
Oh, God.
But
what?
That's the thing.
Who are these losers?
They're not that special. It reminds you that you too can run for
office. Apparently
you
not
could
that
be
smart.
In the Senate,
yes. Yeah.
Listener.
You can be just as horrible.
You could be just as horrible as Marco
Rubio. And stupid.
You're not more annoying or stupider than Marco Rubio.
Nope.
You know?
Certainly not.
You're just another person.
Yeah,
and you could
exactly.
be a senator
right.
also.
You also can ask untantalizing questions at a Senate hearing.
Exactly. Some people might call them tantalizing.
Hey.
You know, if you're trendy enough that week.
Right, exactly.
So,
yes.
Yeah, it's anytime that you see members of Congress just sort of interacting in a place.
Yes.
There are two things that go through your mind. One is they're all much older than you realize.
Yes.
Especially in the Senate. Everyone's 80,000 years old in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is that they're much more, for lack of a better word, basic
right,
than
exactly.
you would have guessed.
Yeah. And thirdly, let's not forget, they all have bad hair.
The worst.
Yeah.
There's got to be a celebrity hairdresser somewhere in LA who's you know what? It's not working out for me right now with Carson Daly.
No.
I gotta get
plan.
To Washington.
Yep. Uh-huh.
These people need hair help right now.
They're celebrities.
Yeah, exactly. They're in some ways more important celebrities because they're actually changing the world.
Sure. Yeah.
Whereas celebrities here are just having a lot of money for God knows what reason to hang around and be themselves.
Exactly. Yep.
I would contend that they're actually quite similar classes of people. Except that one has life or death power,
right, exactly.
and one has literally no relevance in the ultimate grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
So, something to think about, hairdressers of America.
Yeah.
In any case, at last we heard from Trump. after he was live tweeting the Comey testimony. He didn't actually live tweet it. No, Eric Trump live tweeted it.
He actually showed some restraint for like the first time.
Well, let's be honest. He didn't show restraint.
Right.
Somebody showed it for him. Yeah. And his kids were tweeting instead, which was like, literally, stop yourself.
Gross.
But he did afterwards at a press conference on Friday find time to declare that he was 100% willing to repeat his comments about Comey, where he's claiming Comey's a liar.
Well, he'll lie under oath.
Yeah,
he doesn't give a rip.
Under oath. So he's happy to provide his own testimony under oath.
Sure.
Lying under oath is no big deal for him.
He's already got it made up.
Exactly.
So,
he doesn't even have to think of it.
No.
But so Schumer basically was on, was he on Meet the Press or one of the, Face the Nation today and was basically like, all right, let's do it.
Right, exactly. I was going to say, if I were him, I would certainly be into it. In this, for the same reason that
it's great television.
I was going to say, also, and for the same reason that it's not smart for the Republicans to have decided to fuck with James Comey, in a hearing like this, there's nothing smarter than deciding to fuck with Trump. Because if there's one person who can't mentally keep up with the idiots in the Senate...
so
it's
true.
Donald Trump.
So true. Yeah, yeah, and I feel like
you could bury him in one of these sessions,
and he would not. He might not find out.
I know. He'd come out thinking he'd killed it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I feel like Senate Republicans are going to have to do some real backbending to figure out how to survive
how to get him
these
out
next
of right.
few years. And one of the ways they're going to have to do that is by figuring out ways to look visually like they're breaking with Trump without him finding out about it.
I do.
And
which
I think
should be easy enough.
It is easy enough if you are thinking like an idiot.
Yeah.
The problem is that they're trying to outsmart all the Comeys of the world all the time.
Yeah. And they
don't,
can't.
They don't. They're not.
They should decide on something easier.
Yeah. Donald Trump is like outsmarting a toddler. It's not that hard.
No.
He's just unpredictable. He's not. But like not in a way where he's thinking of genius solutions to problems.
No.
He's just not thinking of normal.
At all.
Yeah. He's
right.
just not thinking. He's just acting according to instinct. So it shouldn't be hard to like. This would be like a genius way to kind of like separate yourself from him without separating yourself from him.
Right.
I highly recommend it. Plus, for Donald Trump, if he needs something to sweeten the pot, this would be his greatest moment of reality television ever.
For sure.
I mean, he could... I have no doubt that at some point in his administration, we are going to reach the pinnacle of kind of like Washington reality crossover.
Yeah.
There is going to be some part of whatever takes him down is going to involve 1 hour of television that will never be topped.
Totally.
I would say right now, all it has to beat is the Trump Steaks press conference.
Totally.
That was, I would contend, the pinnacle of reality TV.
I agree.
At this current moment in history.
Yep.
But I think we can do better as a nation.
Yeah. I hope that if we ever get to a point where we do have some impeachment going on, that somebody is going to get to tell him, on my television, you're fired.
Oh my God. What a dream that
That's
would be.
That's really what... And then we'll have done it.
Then we are television.
Right. That's it. Yeah. That's what I'm looking for.
Then our life's purpose... And Brent and I's lives will have fully combined at that point.
Yes.
You know? Not
right.
our lives, but like our,
no, right.
our lives as
no.
LA residents.
No, we're not getting married.
Right.
No.
Our lives as LA residents and our lives as people who do a political podcast will have like fully... Like the whole thing will have come full circle.
Yeah.
So I can't wait.
Yeah.
So in any case, we're inviting him to testify too, I think.
Yeah,
we're not.
Let's do it.
Not.
Yeah.
One thing that's been sort of an interesting detail of these investigations with Mueller that has not really gotten covered by anyone except the right-wing media.
Right. The Drudge Report
because
is really
like,
keeping track of
it's
this.
It's like
and
a minor conspiracy thing, but it's interesting.
Right. And it's not a conspiracy because
it's not a conspiracy. It's happening.
Real,
it's from an actual source. They're just... It has a conspiracy-like sound.
Right.
So they're obsessing about it.
Right.
Is the staff he's been appointing...
Right. Robert Mueller gets to hire his own staff
right.
for this investigation. And he has been hiring people who, if you know who they are, would lead you to believe that they are about to file criminal charges.
Yeah. And if you don't know who they are, which they're hoping you don't, it means you're just not a lawyer.
Right.
You only
exactly.
know who they are if you're a lawyer.
Yes. But they just hired this guy whose name is Michael...
Dreeben.
And he is a deputy in the office of the Solicitor General, but he has argued more than 100 cases before the Supreme Court, and his specialty has been, for the last 20 years, criminal matters.
Yeah.
And he has apparently an encyclopedic knowledge of criminal law. And the National Law Journal said, this is a quote, the move signals that Mueller is seeking advice on the complexities that have arisen already in the investigations, including what constitutes obstruction of justice.
Yeah, so it sounds like, you know, there's a lot with the Trump case that's a little fuzzy. Yeah. But it sounds like they are seeking the best of the best of criminal law experts to kind of go through with a fine-tooth comb and find out whether any of these acts actually do meet the definition of obstruction of justice. And if so, how and like, you know.
They also hired this guy who was the his name's Andrew Weissman. He was the direct. He was the director of the Justice Department's Enron task force, and also oversaw the prosecutions like of the
Ken Lay, Jeffrey Skilling, Andrew Fassa,
from
Enron. And he's also worked. He's worked in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Manhattan, and he's also prosecuted like a bunch of crime families. So he's fought
hiring,
Wall Street and organized crime.
Criminal prosecutors who have quote an encyclopedic knowledge.
I would contend that the best parallel for the Trump situation right now would be
a crime family.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. I feel like people who and that's
It's what he's always wanted, right?
I mean, Chris Christie's just waiting in the wings trying to figure out what to do until they invite him back because he is their only hope.
Yeah, right?
He's literally the only person who's still vaguely in Trump world who knows how to deal with crime the people that deal with crime family people because he's one of them.
Right, exactly.
And because of that could maybe...
And he's a lawyer.
And is a lawyer. Knows how to... Knows why people get prosecuted, how people get prosecuted, how these things work.
Right. He's bombastic enough that he could, like, sort of, you know,
totally,
really sell the whole thing, I think,
like,
probably. Like,
he is literally their only hope. Because if they think Rudy Giuliani's going to have any worth in this matter, they're incorrect.
Exactly.
He's never had worth in any matter.
No.
He's a useless human being.
Correct.
But they've got to play nice with Chris Christie if they want him to come back and help them.
I know.
Because if I were Chris Christie right now, I would be like, oh,
they've burned
I see
him
where
so
this
many
is
times.
Going.
Like, yeah, right?
He's a little weak, isn't he?
Right?
I am so shocked.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know. Don't come back and offer to help on this if you ever want to have a future in politics again. Like, that's not your answer.
No.
Like,
I'm shocked that he came back once.
I don't.
I'm shocked that he agreed to participate
to win there
in this.
The first
right. I mean, there's so many things about this that I'm shocked about.
I know.
But I just, like, if he is, like, a human being with a brain that is
don't
at
get
least
involved.
Partially able to comprehend things despite Bridgegate-related things going on, like, stay as far away from this as possible because there's a reason no one will touch this administration.
Yeah.
And it's because everyone's going down at some point.
Yeah.
And you just, you know.
Exactly.
You don't want to be the guy that made your career dealing with crime families and then loses it over Donald Trump. How embarrassing.
And now we're going to bring you a couple stories that you may not have heard of, because if the GOP did anything genius this week, it was making sure that they scheduled all of their evilness for the exact same day that the Comey testimony was going on, because they knew no one would
give
one single damn about it. Yeah, exactly.
At this point, they are just sacrificing Trump for their own adventuring.
Right. Yes,
basically.
Exactly. Because they did two nasty things on Thursday. Like, super nasty things. Not
like,
just sort of
like,
oh, well, that could be bad. But, like,
things
real shitty
that will be bad.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? Remember how the Obamacare repeal was never going to pass the Senate, and even Mitch McConnell claimed that there was no way to get to 50 votes and they weren't going to have it on the schedule for 2017?
No, they changed their mind.
It's on fast track, guys.
They changed their mind. Apparently, they're planning to just sort of, like, jam it through, which...
Yes.
We found out about this because Claire McCaskill, who had a rare moment of heroism, went in on Orrin Hatch during
a
DHHS budget hearing and was like, are we going to see this proposal? Is this a thing? Are there going to be hearings?
Yeah.
Are there going to be any time for, you know, comments? Like,
and you can I watched this. It's sort of like, I mean, it's was great for her, but it also signaled that perhaps Orrin Hatch is getting a little senile, too, which wouldn't be shocking because he's also super old.
He's also 1,000 years old.
She asked him whether there were going to be hearings,
and
he looked super shocked by the question, said nothing, turned around, talked to a much younger staff member who was apparently an idiot herself because they had a fairly lengthy conversation under their breaths, and then when he came back, he didn't have anything intelligent to say. He basically just said, just because we're not having a hearing, like, the Democrats are still allowed to participate. And Claire McCaskill was like, huh? And then he also said that So she, and then she also reminded him of, like, the months-long process that, like, the Democrats underwent with hearings and with amendments being offered for before they were able to pass Obamacare.
Totally.
Yeah. But then he also said, you know, we'd love the Democrat support or something like that. And that, like, set her off. And she said, I heard you, this is where, so she, and she, you can tell that she is, like, annoyed. She said, I heard you, Mr. Secretary, just say, I'd love your support. For what? And she, like, threw up her hands when she said this. We don't even know. We have no idea what's being proposed. There's a group of guys in a back room somewhere that are making these decisions. We're not even going to have a hearing on a bill that impacts 1/6 of our economy. We're not even going to have an opportunity to offer a single amendment. So, like, and also, the reason this should come as no shock to you, although it sort of at least initially surprised me, but then I was like, well, these guys are fucking pansies. Yeah. The reason that they are all of a sudden now so excited that they might be able to get this passed is because some of those quote-unquote moderates who were scared about the Medicaid cuts are now, less you scared. Know, yeah, they're less scared.
Because they're going to phase them in, and so they'll be out of office.
Right, exactly.
By the time that the cuts
That's
hit.
Exactly what they're going to do. They're still, they've now...
This is a classic Washington strategy.
Right, exactly. We don't know their exact plans because they're not going to tell us until they vote on it. And right, exactly. They are as, what's her name? Oh, Shelley Moore Capito from West Virginia called it. They said that they're going to have a more gradual glide path.
Yes.
So they're basically going to put off phasing out Medicaid until 2020, and then they're going to have it take 7 years. Yeah. So basically, it's going to come up with the exact same result where 10 million people are going to get kicked off of that due to the rolling back the Medicaid expansion. But it's just not going to be done until 2027, and most of them will be dead.
Right.
So what the fuck do they have to worry about?
That's right.
Yeah. We'll all be dead,
we'll
too.
Be dead
or
too.
In the process of dying at that
right.
point. We'll start the dying process.
Right.
But they'll have
By that
already
point,
gone.
We'll be too weak to fight it.
Right. So that's their new plan now.
Yeah.
They've just accepted it, and they're going to vote on it, but they're just going to... kick it on down that Washington's favorite thing to do is just kick it on down the road and let somebody else deal with it and let us get fucked.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
So there are things you can do about this.
Yes, there are.
You can call these assholes.
Yep.
Do you know anyone in Nevada or West Virginia? Because.
Yeah.
Or Kentucky.
Or Ohio.
Ohio.
He was the most surprising name on this list
Rob
for me.
Portman.
It was Rob Portman, who's from Ohio. I'm not shocked by Shelley Moore Capito.
No.
Or,
she's an asshat.
Yeah.
I'm not even that shocked by Dean Heller. But You can get people in these districts or these states to call these people.
Of course.
Because if people know that this is happening, it's going to be harder for them.
Or call them yourself because you're a person who is living in America that doesn't want to die.
Exactly.
So, like, call them from Los Angeles. Who gives a rip?
No, exactly. It's important.
It's more helpful
if it's in their district.
But it affects everybody.
It affects
so there's no
everybody.
Reason why you shouldn't
exactly.
fuck with these people.
Exactly.
Been using
and,
that word a lot
well,
in the last 20 minutes.
Whatever, we're angry about
minutes,
this.
But I know, we're angry.
This is, this is infuriating.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing that dies as soon as people...
realize
what
if
is.
Enough people like also call them but then post about it on Facebook
there's a
and
reason
send
they were scared
like,
to do this in the first place
right,
and
exactly.
someone threatened them obviously
right
but they're
so they figured if they could just do it in secret
exactly.
it would be fine
these
so
threats
don't let them
should
do it in
not
secret.
Hold water these Washington threats should not hold water in the face of them actually wanting to get reelected in
exactly.
their districts
right
you know that the ultimate power doesn't rest and also they shouldn't hold water with an administration that offers them nothing. You know,
right?
the president doesn't offer them anything
like,
at
why
this
are they,
point.
Why are they
They don't
trying
need
so
to go along
it,
with these.
No, it doesn't mean, no.
What is Mitch McConnell gaining from this at this point?
I don't
if he
know.
Became the resistance leader, he would be a lot more effective at this point.
I know.
It's like he's like gone to a darker place every year that is getting more and more astonishing.
Yeah.
And he's like losing track of reality.
Well.
Because this is the kind of
he's
thing...
He's also in his early hundreds.
That's true. The sort of, like, paper... like, what this actually looks like on paper is unpassable. It's just that they're hoping you won't read it.
Correct.
You know?
That's it.
In any case. So they did that. Then they also deregulated the financial industry while you weren't looking.
Yeah. The House basically threw out Dodd-Frank.
Yeah.
Which...
again...
Is what
we got
we
to stop having the
to
2008
not have another
crisis.
Financial crash.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
They called their bill the Financial Choice Act.
Sure.
Because the Puppies and Rainbows Act.
Yeah, because it allows the financial industry
to
make, choose to ruin America.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
They finally get their choice back.
Right. Yes.
The Trump administration obviously has backed this bill because they're trying to get rid of banking regulations. Right. They claim to spur economic growth. I think we know from many experiences in the past that that doesn't work.
No. It spurs economic downfall
and ruin to everyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. We know that from many attempts at spurring economic growth with right. this manner. Now, is this bill, as it stands, likely to get through the Senate? Well, in reality,
healthcare is likely to now get through the Senate.
In sort of like what would be a traditional estimation, no. Right. In our new reality, who knows?
Yeah.
Let's call Dean Heller about this too. I mean, fuck Rob Portman and Dean Heller.
And those guys.
Like, yeah. Come on. So as it stands, people think it's probably not going to get through the Senate, but it means that pieces of this bill probably will.
Could. And that's what, yes.
And that's what we need to watch out for, because even the Democrats have some concerning members when it comes to these kind of financial issues.
Sure do.
You know, Joe Manchin is not trying to vote in favor of the banking industry.
No, of course not.
He's all over that.
Oh, yeah.
So we have some concerns even among our own.
We do.
Not staff. Yeah, I'm going to call them our staff from now on.
They are.
They're our staff. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we pay them.
Among our own staff.
Right.
We have some concerns as well.
Yeah.
But
Cory Booker will vote for anything if you got enough money.
Yeah, as we learned.
Yeah. So.
You know, I'm going to refer to them all as staff.
I like
and
that.
I'm going to come up with executive jobs for us so that we can have, you know, so that we're like CEOs of the staff that is Congress.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, we should remind everyone that we're.
Yeah.
And so there was like that famous, I think it was Audra McDonald of all people that tweeted this after the election.
She's a good tweeter.
Mm-hmm. Where she said, you know, tomorrow isn't the, you know, when it was right before the inauguration, I think, or whatever. Tomorrow we don't swear in our new boss. We swear in our new temp,
something like that.
And he works for us.
Yeah.
We're in charge.
Yeah.
So let's live a little, you know, let's call ourselves the bosses and call them our staff.
Yeah.
In any case, sorry.
Oh, distraction. No, that's okay.
Distraction.
No, I'm into it. Additionally, they're not just getting rid of some of these regulations. They also, one of the things that's in here that the Democrats are super panicked about is that they are basically going to, you know, do away with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
And that, and basically what they're going to do is they're going to reduce its independence. They're going to make it to, the director report to the president, which means it becomes a political tool and it's no longer effective.
Yeah. They'll probably have to take a loyalty oath.
Yeah, exactly. So, protecting consumers.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a real concern because the creation of that has helped sort of not just raise awareness about some of the predatory practices that the financial industry was using up into, you know, the lead up to 2008, but also about like a number of, especially in like consumer banking and things like that, a number of issues that have, you know, that have a direct impact on you in the way that these larger investment laws don't.
They might get you some money back if you get screwed over by some of these people.
Exactly.
Some of these people that screwed Americans over, one of them specifically is Steve Mnuchin, who is our Treasury Secretary. And Trump, in one of the many ways that he finds no irony in places he should find irony, we're going to talk about one of those coming up with the infrastructure bill in a second. Trump has complained about some of these lending practices, like the new regulations on them, and he's asked various reviews to be done of banking rules, and one of them is being done by Steve Mnuchin.
It's like
Steve Mnuchin, the person who was nicknamed the foreclosure king, who basically foreclosed all of California as the head of One West Bank, is looking into banking laws right now.
That's helpful.
So that's super helpful.
So we're looking at some great times ahead.
Yes.
Don't stock up on savings because your money's going to be worthless soon.
Right. Don't buy a house.
Keep it in your...
Don't get a mortgage.
Yeah, don't do anything.
No.
Definitely don't make any moves in the next decade until we figure this all out.
Cash under the couch cushion.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, Brent, how did you celebrate your infrastructure week?
Well, not by reading a plan that the administration released
about infrastructure. I was so hoping to devote the week to a detailed read of an infrastructure plan that I could then have an opinion on. But unfortunately, that's not what we do in Infrastructure Week, apparently.
No, that's
it's a new holiday, so I wasn't sure what the rules were.
No.
Instead, we just say that it's Infrastructure Week, and then we deliver vague speeches about infrastructure that don't involve any specifics or a plan.
Correct. Yes.
But they do involve props, so that's fine.
They involve props, yes. They apparently the only sort of like we got a few vague details of a plan, and one of them was that we're going to ruin the environment.
Because yeah, so that's awesome.
Apparently the biggest reason that, you know, the infrastructure is shit right now is because there's too many environmental laws. Mm. And so Trump brought out these giant binders of environmental laws that he claims were used to stop a new highway project.
Right.
I have a feeling these were probably blank pages in a binder.
If I had to guess.
Much like the blank pages in the stacks of vanilla envelopes that he brought out for something. I can't even remember what that was. But I mean, he should have had a prop that was an infrastructure plan.
I would have done anything to see that prop.
Yeah, that would have been the way to go.
Even if he had had a binder that was full of blank pages that said
that
infrastructure.
That he said this was the infrastructure bill.
I would have been like, at least he's thinking about it.
Right, I know. At least somebody wrote a bill for him.
Right, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so instead he just like...
Yeah. Because we've all heard about his $1 trillion
plan. Threw these on the floor.
Right. We already heard like a vague plan about his plan to spend $200 billion
that somehow was going to be a trillion.
$800 billion from private industry.
Well, this is similar to their math in their budget.
Yes.
Where they counted everything twice because of all the excessive amounts of
spending
this is going to all spur.
Or they, you know, cut all taxes and they.
But
say that the
economic
reason,
growth
the,
is...
Right, I was going to say, the reason that they give for that is because we're going to grow at 5%, which, you know, no time in America's history has ever happened. So, like, you know, they're coming up with a lot
of
bogus ideas to trick you into thinking
there's not a single
like a
mathematician among them, is what we've learned from all of this.
Correct. Fuzzy math is
Fuzzy math is... Yeah, exactly. But in any case, he found a way to really turn this into the peak irony moment that we knew it could be.
Yeah, exactly.
Because... his new budget cuts like a ton of money to a number of things, as we know. But it takes a lot of money out of programs like the Highway Trust Fund.
Yes.
Which will delay local projects
like
the Brentspies Bridge, which is in Cincinnati, which is a crumbling bridge that is an important, you know.
Yeah. It takes like two major highways into Cincinnati.
Yeah. It's an important thoroughfare in the city.
Guess where he was delivering the speech? Yeah. Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. Remember when he was going to save Detroit by bringing back manufacturing jobs?
Yeah, exactly.
And the city of Detroit was like, no, thank you, we're good.
I know. What is so fascinating about him is
Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Is that he is a person who, like, doesn't get it so hard or, like, really gets it so hard. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Like, is he, like, secretly, like, trolling all of us? He's not because he's stupid.
I mean,
but
he
like,
is trolling all of us.
Right.
He is not doing it secretly.
No,
he's doing it openly.
Yes.
And he is not trying to troll us.
Right, exactly. He's accidentally trolling us.
He's that evil.
And stupid.
Yeah. He's a guy who doesn't think twice about delivering a speech that is going to be in direct contradiction to the spot that he's standing on, like... history and story.
Right.
Like, that's just not the guy he is.
Or future
of existence.
Right, sort of like what he's doing to the potential future of America.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that he's just not getting it because that's not what he does.
No.
He says the words that he wants to say in the place.
Right.
And he doesn't connect.
Yeah.
He doesn't worry about the connection.
Right. The other bit of info we got was like a huge event that he had at the beginning of the week where he signed a non-binding letter to Congress to ask them to come up with a plan to privatize air traffic control.
Jesus Christ. You guys, the last time that... We still haven't recovered from the air traffic control strike breaking that Reagan did.
The Reagans.
I mean, Nancy was basically running the country for half his administration. So this is like a battle cry taking on air traffic control.
That's crazy.
And like, why do they always want to take this job that... couldn't be more critical to public safety.
I know.
In, like, the dramatic, like, horrifying, like, plane crash sense.
I know.
We're not even talking about, like, oh, we're not going to have traffic cops at small intersections that no one will find out about.
Yeah.
We're talking about a change that could affect not only the what we pay to travel, what we pay to fly, but, like, literally how well we land and take off. And it could result in, like, planes falling out of the sky and crashing.
Yeah. And you know what, guys? Takeoff and landing
are the only dangerous parts of flying.
Those are the two scariest parts of flying.
They're the only dangerous parts of flying. It's exceedingly rare. Like, knock on wood, I'm terrified of flying. You guys
know
that.
Are. Yeah.
But the only statistically dangerous part of flying is takeoff and landing. It is rare that you're just like in the air and something happens to the plane. Yeah. The plane is flying itself at that point. Unless you like crash into a mountain or something weird, there's not much going on midair.
No.
Taking off, that requires some precision work. Landing is very scary.
Yeah.
You're like shooting down on a through the air at not fast enough to keep going. Hour? I mean, yes. That's crazy. crazy. You're in like a bullet that's filled with gas and you're like touching down on
tar. I want people on
like
the
that makes no sense. I want those people to be compensated however they need to be. I want them to have benefits. I want them to be able to retire when they're too old.
I want smart people there.
I want all those things.
Yeah.
What I don't want is a bunch of bullshit because they want to privatize the air traffic controllers just for show.
Yeah, I would also like someone to explain to me the relation to Infrastructure Week.
He's making it worse.
well, right.
He's got a plan.
Sure.
The plan is to make infrastructure worse, and he's going to do it.
Yeah, and if you think that just, cynical Lyle and Brent hating everything that Trump does.
Mm-hmm.
That we were not the only ones who were wildly unmoved by.
You know who else was unmoved?
Week.
Business.
Right. Because
money.
When Trump first talked about wanting to spend $1 trillion on infrastructure, which was in that February, speech to Congress, it moved like companies that would have benefited from infrastructure spending so high.
Yeah,
with
we reached
stocks,
record highs in the Dow in that March.
We reached record highs in March.
And
it was
the companies
due
like Caterpillar.
Massive, right, exactly.
US
like
Steel,
they just skyrocketed
Vulcan
because they were
materials.
Like, yes, we're gonna go to work, man.
Yeah.
Like we're gonna sell a bunch of Caterpillar tractors and we're gonna really get it.
That's right.
None of these same
literally
companies.
Nothing.
No. And they didn't go up at all. Or like went from like $126 a share to like $130 a share.
Which is like
share.
A move
they
that could
like
have been caused by
unmoved.
Like a windy day.
Right. And not only that, but most of these companies are not factoring in boost to federal spending in their forecast.
Yeah,
like,
so everybody knows this is a shame.
Yeah. Like it's not just us guys.
Yeah. It's
not just the crazy liberals who hate Trump.
It's the people who work in infrastructure related industries.
Right. They know.
It's construction people.
Right.
It's the people that sell you the material to make an infrastructure
they
better.
They got really excited about $1 trillion. And then ever since then, they've been like, fuck, man.
Yeah. We shouldn't have believed that guy.
No.
He's a liar.
Yeah. Well, it was February. It was early.
It was an optimistic time,
February. He had just taken over.
We weren't 7 years older like we are now.
Exactly.
We were just young people who had had the fun of a women's march under our belt, and we're watching Michael Flynn resign and fun stuff like that.
Yeah.
What about this other plan
that
Trump has proposed?
Yeah, Trump, I saw the headlines, and I was like, oh my God, is this a good plan that Trump has? And in the sense that it's good of him to take a plan invented by Bill Clinton and then reauthorized by Barack Obama, yes, it's a good plan for him to do that. But, like, that's exactly what's happening here. Because
except with less money.
Right, with less money, but claiming to scale it up.
Yeah, he's going to scale it up with half the funding.
Because one of the other things that they announced this week was that they are going to massively scale up U.S. apprenticeships.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I have always thought that forcing everyone to go to a four-year university is sort of a ridiculous plan that we have all gotten on board with.
But the thing that you need on the other side of that is you need jobs like, you know, you need the kinds of trades that you're training these people for to provide steady, well-paying jobs on the other end.
Sure.
You can't apprentice them to a dying industry that because of that is only being done by, like, people living on the margins of society who can afford
or
to
robots.
Work for nothing or robots and then be like, we did it.
Yeah.
Apprenticeships work because they won't work.
Maybe we can apprentice people to build robots.
Oh, my God. Who's building the robots?
I know.
Where are those people?
That sounds like it should be a high-paying job that you could learn a
trade
for.
I'm happy for robots to build everything as long as the rest of us can vacation.
Exactly.
That's what I've been waiting for.
Right.
I thought all of this automation was going to be easier for everyone.
Don't force me into the labor market and then expect me to be able to exist if the robots are doing everything.
No, pay me a living wage. Give me health care. I will stop bothering you.
Right.
And I will just go hang out somewhere. Things I can do.
Around. We have a beach like 10 miles from here.
There are millions of books in the world that I have not read, and I could read all of them.
I know. Yeah.
The number of hours of television I haven't watched is staggering.
Yeah. But, you know, it's been pointed out that ever since they announced this bill, they announced their budget before this bill, but in their budget, they cut jobs training from $2.6 billion to $1.6 billion. So scaling up.
Unclear where this money is coming from.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But I mean, apprenticeship programs are like huge in a lot of European countries.
Mm-hmm.
Ivanka Trump pointed that out. Somehow she is involved in this, which I am unclear as to why.
I never know what her involvement is in things.
But that was apparently a big takeaway that she had when she was in Germany, because that's like really big there. And like a lot of people, like we only have like apparently only like 0.3% of Americans like go through apprenticeship programs. And it's usually for building trades,
yeah,
where you sort of like you can just get like a, you know, not a diploma, but you can get, you know, just certified,
like a certification
to do something,
for something,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So and those are usually good paying jobs too. So like,
but the problem,
yeah,
you
need
have
to have
them, enough of them,
right?
And you need, this is where something like, you know, building out infrastructure is a great idea. And one way that you can boost the economy and build out infrastructure is you can train people in trades that directly impact our ability to build out infrastructure.
Correct.
The problem is on the other end, instead of channeling those jobs to private industries that are going to cut corners and aren't providing a fair living wage for their employees,
right,
you have to be prepared to offer not only a living wage, but some kind of security for the people,
right,
that waste, you know, that,
yeah,
that spend time going through these, right, programs, because it is a waste if
you don't have a job when
you come out of it.
Right.
You know, apprenticeship without a job is just called free labor.
Exactly. There are a lot of people who are saying that you should be able to have like an apprenticeship. And this also sort of like goes to hiring practices too, because you have to, if you're going to train people in, you know, there's places like IBM and Amazon and Dow Chemical who are apparently now working like directly with high schools and community colleges to like help train workforces.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good idea. But if you are, and these places obviously aren't doing that, but like you have to get people to stop asking for a 4-year degree too before you hire somebody in some of the, like, because there are so many jobs where that's requested, where it seems like wildly
where you're like,
unnecessary.
Oh,
like, why
yeah,
do I have to do that? So
right, I'm like answering phones in this job. It seems like I could do that with
right,
an elementary school degree, but
correct,
okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
no, and that, and this is another way around, you know, some of the student loan debt crisis.
Totally.
Because a lot of people are not, there aren't enough jobs for 4-year college graduates to accommodate all of the 4-year college graduates that come out of it. And
yeah,
I think anyone who wants a 4-year college education should get one.
God,
because
bless them. Yeah.
That, it's better for everyone if everyone's
right,
educated.
Well,
it improves our quality of
yes,
life
and
in every way.
And I think that you learn,
you learn important skills.
Right, that don't have anything to do with the classes that you
no,
take.
No, it's
so,
just,
like, that's
it's,
why
it's a good part of growing up.
Right, I was going to say, if there's
but,
any argument for 4-year school more than an education, it's like,
it's, social,
you know, it's like
socializing
life,
people.
Life school.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, all of school is really just an experiment in socializing you.
Yeah.
And it's like great to learn math and all, but like, what did you take away from your math classes? Not math.
Oh, nothing.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, but you were at school, you probably made a friend in math. I have some
yeah,
friends I made in math class. I like have certain kinds of logical reasoning that I can do now that I've taken math.
Yep.
Some of those were just because I had to learn how to deal with math class and were not related to math itself.
Right.
But, you know, whatever. In any case, my point is this is one way that you can provide a secure future for people without requiring them to take on a debt load that's unnecessary in
right,
their circumstance.
Yeah.
But it also doesn't eliminate your need to get rid of the college debt situation.
No,
so
it sure doesn't.
They're not interested in any of this.
I was
I'm
just
like talking dream.
I know,
this is,
I know.
Just like talking nonsense
yeah,
now.
Well, we're almost done. So
yeah,
we got one more story for
you. We got
one
more story for you.
Which is,
it's not about infrastructure.
No. And it's the most ridiculous thing that I have heard in a really
yeah,
long time. Last week there were these organized, or they were these, there were these protests called the March Against Sharia. Where people,
that's real.
Where dozens of people you know, took to the streets
yeah,
to march against Sharia law coming to America.
You know how Sharia law is coming to America? Have you heard
yeah,
about that?
Well,
you know,
as the leaders of the organizers of these protests said, we need to stop Sharia law from making inroads, which it hasn't.
Well, with the nearly 1% of the country that's Muslim, I can
correct,
see how this is a concern.
Right. And many of those Muslims aren't trying to live by Sharia law.
We have a lot of problems with Sikh law also making inroads.
Yes. Yeah,
it's been a big problem.
Yeah. You know where we have the problems with religious laws coming into play?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you want to tell us?
They're Christian laws.
They're Christian laws.
They're coming from the Christian right. And they sound yes, oddly similar to the laws that these people are so concerned that we're going to have to impose.
Yeah, well, what is confusing about these marches, besides the fact that there is no concern of Sharia law coming to
literally
America,
none,
literally none, is that they, obviously, these marches were done by crazy right-wing, like, lunatics.
Yeah.
Like, let's not kid ourselves here.
Right.
But the reason that they said that they felt like it was important was because they don't want Sharia law to come here because Sharia law imposes oppression of women, homophobic violence, amongst other things. And I'm sort of like...
Honor killings.
Honor killings. Like, this is your agenda.
Right. Like, I want to find out which of these March Against Sharia people also voted for Bernie Sanders.
Right, exactly.
Because those might be the only people... Right, exactly. Yeah. Those might be the only people who are justified in a concern of any of these laws. I would contend that if you want to devote your time to making sure that homophobic violence and oppression of women doesn't make its way to our shores,
right.
A great way to do that is to oppose the radical Christian agenda.
Right. Yes.
And maybe Sharia law is a, if not even secondary, it's like a tenthiary.
Exactly.
Concern.
Yeah, that's what it
is. In that situation. It's a tenthiary concern.
Yeah.
They were organized by ACT, which is a conservative group, that the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, calls the largest grassroots anti-Muslim group in America.
Sure.
They have 280,000 members and 1,000 chapters. Yeah. They describe themselves as the NRA of national security.
Oh, boy.
That says so much in so few words.
It does.
That's really...
Yeah, they did a good job
That's
there.
Descriptive. Yeah, that really...
Uh-huh. Yeah.
One protester said, "I feel like we need to make a stand now before Sharia makes more inroads." I want to point out, I want him to point out what the original inroads he's worried about expanding. Yeah.
Well, there were a lot of reports on social media that were obviously wrong,
mm-hmm.
that Dearborn, Michigan has taken up Sharia law.
Because,
as you know, Dearborn, Michigan has like a large Muslim community. But they haven't, guys.
No, they've taken up American law, being that they're in Michigan,
right.
Which
and
is part of
people,
America.
And maybe people confuse
it for
Sharia law.
They might be confusing the two, exactly.
Yeah.
In some states, it's pretty easy to confuse the two.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know, why not?
You go to Texas.
I would challenge you to... I would maybe prefer Sharia law to what's going on in Texas. I don't think Sharia law allows you to literally murder anybody you feel like. Florida is way more dangerous than Sharia law. In Florida, they were like making you publish your sexual history in the newspaper to get an abortion, and you're allowed to shoot anyone you feel like. So, in any case... This is not much of a concern, thank God, of any of us. And also, it's not a concern of most Muslims, who are also not in favor of imposing Sharia law.
Well, it's as, you know,
it's a religious law.
I was going to say, I consider myself a Christian, but I'm not trying to also be, like, forced to live by the Ten Commandments, like, in my life by the government.
You can make a choice, I guess, to do that, if that's your thing.
Sure.
But you don't have to make everyone do it.
Right. Now, you shouldn't be able to make a choice whether we should be able to, you know, mutilate female genitalia. Right. I mean, But I feel like our law should be based on mutual respect.
Correct. Which is something higher than religion.
Correct.
Because even as someone who has no religion, I can agree that that's not great.
Correct.
You know.
Yes.
Like, I feel like murdering people violates their civil rights.
Don't do that.
That's why it's their right to life.
Yes.
I believe, just because I want a right to life myself, that I should also give that to other people. That's why I don't murder them. You know? You don't need God to tell
it's
you not to do that.
As it's just, simple as that.
It's like a shitty thing to do based on...
Yeah, don't be doing that.
Yeah, it just seems like... It seems like not as great as... Yeah. You know? So, in any case, if you are concerned about Sharia law coming to your community, I would encourage you to stop worrying.
Take a deep breath.
Take a deep breath.
Right.
Turn Breitbart off.
Get some facts.
Get... You know, head over...
Or one fact.
Any fact. Yeah, it's one of the facts. I would not encourage you to call your representatives and insist that Sharia law not be imposed, because they'll get confused.
Yeah.
Because they'll be like, I don't know what we're talking about here.
Right.
And then I think maybe it's time to, like, you know, watch some Seinfeld. Like, get into a different
Become
headspace.
Pro-choice. Become pro-choice. Go to a gay pride parade.
Yeah, go to a gay pride parade. That's much more fun than whatever you're doing worrying about Sharia law.
Bingo.
Much more.
Yeah.
And we will see. We'll be a little late next week.
Right.
Because we have exciting activities planned.
Weddings.
But we will be here probably Tuesday or so.
Sure.
And, you know, then you'll know because we'll be here.
Yeah.
That's so you'll hear from
us
then.
You'll get one extra news day.
That's right.
Get excited.
Get excited. All right. We'll talk to you then.
Bye.
Bye.